The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, as you may have been hearing earlier this morning, the World Health Organization has declared the Ebola outbreak in the Congo and Uganda to be an international public health emergency amid fears that the virus could spread further across the region. Kingston Mills is Professor of Experimental Immunology at the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, and Kingston joins me on the line. Good morning, Kingston.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, tell me about this particular strain of Ebola, because according to the local Minister for Health, there is no vaccine and no effective treatment.
Yeah, this is the Bundi Bugyo strain of the Ebola virus, which is different from the Zaire strain, where there is a vaccine. In fact, there are two vaccines that have been approved for the Ebola Zaire strain. But like many viruses, these viruses mutate and they change, and the vaccine that was developed against one is not effective against the later one. We've seen that, of course, with the COVID vaccines, and we know it from influenza. So that's a common feature of viruses, that they mutate as they evolve.
Now, the vaccine that there is for the Zaire, you know, the way when we get the flu vaccine and we're told that maybe it's not effective against the strain that's been identified in the Antipodes in Australia and New Zealand and so on by the time it comes here. But they say the one you have will actually have some effect. Does the Zaire vaccine have any effect on this new strain?
The answer is I don't know, but it's probably unlikely, because it might reduce the severity of disease, but certainly won't stop the infection. And that's been, you know, what has happened with many vaccines. If you look back at the past in influenza and the COVID vaccines, they can reduce the severity of disease. And that's how the COVID vaccines work now. They don't stop transmission of the virus. And I'd imagine it's going to be the same. But I don't think that information is actually available yet, because this is something that has only arisen, very recently. So there wouldn't have been enough studies done to be able to answer that with any certainty.
Now, they presumably use the same techniques to develop a vaccine against this strain as they did against the Zaire strain. But how long does it take to develop a vaccine?
If you think back again to the COVID pandemic, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine was developed in a matter of weeks, and it uses similar technology. It uses another virus, adenovirus, as sort of the vector for the vaccine for the parts of the Ebola virus. And if the resources are put into it, it could be done in a couple of months. But it's cranking up the production then is part of the issue. I don't imagine that it would be necessary, for use outside of the areas around the Congo and in the Congo. So I don't think we're going to see a situation where we're going to have mass vaccination like we did against COVID-19. So I don't think it's anything like, there's no comparison with what's happening here and what happened with the COVID pandemic.
Now, we know that second phase of vaccine development through mRNA developed vaccines by a number of companies very, very quickly. Does mRNA technology have any part to play in the development of a vaccine for Ebola?
Absolutely. So one of the huge advantages of the mRNA technology is that it's very, very flexible and very easy to make, and very quick to make as well. So even though the existing vaccines against Ebola are based on different technology, those vaccines were developed before the mRNA technology really came to the fore. So now it would be relatively easy to adapt the existing vaccine, a new one against this particular strain, using the mRNA technology. So absolutely, yes, the mRNA has great potential to have an effective vaccine. Of course, the problem is that, outbreak is it's not going to contain the outbreak, having a vaccine in 2 or 3 months' sure. time. If at the best case scenario, it could be 6 months or 9 months before you had a vaccine. So it's not going to contain it. Now, there is another way of dealing with this, and that's using these monoclonal antibodies. Again, during the COVID pandemic, monoclonal antibodies, these are the body's natural defense against viruses, except you can make them in the laboratory. And that was what happened with COVID. They were made towards the middle part of the COVID pandemic, but they didn't get much use, because the problem is you have to administer very early in the disease for them to be effective. They are available against Ebola, but they're only against the Zaire strain, and they're not going to be effective against the Bundi Bugyo polio strain.
Now, the incubation period for this kind of virus, and where the first person in this epidemic might have picked it up, do we know what its origin is?
Yeah, I mean, the first of all, the incubation period is between 8 and, you know, anything up to 21 days, but commonly between 2 days in a week. So it's quite short, shorter compared to something like the Hantavirus virus, which had an incubation period of up to 8 weeks. So that's good in that you can spot the cases quicker. But it's bad in that the treatment is more difficult. Now, the where does it come from? Well, the hosts for this virus are monkeys, bats, what effectively is called bushmeat in the Congo and related countries. Even antelopes can get infected with this virus. So they're acting as a reservoir for the virus. So it hasn't been established, but I would imagine that's where the transmission arose in the latest cases in the Republic of Congo.
So if somebody eats contaminated meat that's contaminated with the virus, they can develop it. But then when they pass it on, what is the method of transmission to their neighbour?
Yeah, it's body fluids, so it's close body contact. It's not an airborne virus. So again, it's not like influenza or SARS-CoV virus 2, which is very easy to transmit because of sneezing and coughing. This requires body contacts with body fluids. So you really do need close contact to get infected. So that makes it easier to contain it once the people take the appropriate measures to prevent body contact and wear, you know, protective clothing dealing with patients. And the big problem, of course, is, you know, you can transmit it while asymptomatic. It's less likely, but it can happen, and that's part of the problem. You may be picking it up from, you know, people who are dealing with people and in close contact with them could get it before they themselves show symptoms.
Kingston Mills, Professor of Experimental Immunology at the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.